Okay, you guys, let's do this. It's going to be so professional. Okay. Like, so professional. Here we go.
Welcome to the Lab Support Podcast with your hosts, Michelle Van Dusen and June Colson, a couple of clean comedians who support each other and others through comedy's wacky and winding roads. I hope you're ready. Get set. Let's go. Since podcasts have a catchy tune, we wrote this song for Michelle and June. Clean comedians are best friends too. Oh, so good. And you never know what they'll say or do. Here we go, sing with me on Lab Support, with Michelle, who's really short. We'll have a ball, with June, who's really tall. They have fun, interviewing comedians on Lab Support, with Michelle, who's really short. Now it's time to start Lab Support.
The Lab Support Podcast, brought to you by the Hot Breath Comedy Network.
Well, welcome to the award-winning Laugh Support Podcast. I'm your host, June Bug Colson, here with Michelle with one L. Don't call me Trisha, Rhonda Colson Corey's friend. No, don't call me Shelly.
That's the second or third time you've done it.
Have
that
I told
way.
That before? Let's back up and reverse. Trisha is Michelle's sister, and she's my favorite. So you can call her Trisha if you want to, but it would still be wrong. Don't call me Shelly, Michelle Van Dusen. Oh my goodness, Michelle! Not enough coffee this morning. Not enough coffee.
No. It feels like it's been forever since I've seen you. Like, do you even know where I live anymore? Do you even know who I am? But then something surprising came for me this week.
Did it show up?
I got a letter in the mail.
Yeah,
from a Whobilly. Uh-huh. I don't know, Whobilly Colson. And I was like, oh.
Is that what I wrote on there, was Whobilly Colson?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I'm so funny. I forget how funny I am, Michelle.
So let's see what's in here. I'm your number one fan. Couldn't help myself. I love you. You're my number one. So now I'm not sure if, I mean, it says to Michelle from June, but now I'm like, am I your number one? You're my number one. Like,
You're number one. Okay. So you have,
if you're my number one. So
you're my number one.
So I have to be.
Why
your
are you confusing me?
Anyway, I love it. I love it. So, and I love yours because, you know, we're number one. We're number one.
Okay. So for our listeners, Michelle has these little, like, we're number one foam finger things on a stick that she had in the background. And the other day I was at the dollar store because that's basically where I live. I am either on stage or at the dollar store or at church. And they had all their Valentine's on clearance. So I had to buy everything that they had on clearance. And they had some Valentine cards that had the same little foam fingers that say, we're number one. Oh, it has a hole where you can actually stick your finger in it.
Yeah, that's why I stuck the stick in
that's
there.
That's nuts. So yeah. Anyway, I bought a package of them and I mailed them to Michelle. And because I'm so funny, the return address said that it was Whobilly Colson. So yep. For those of you who don't know, part of my comedy is I talk about being half Hoosier and half hillbilly. So I'm a Whobilly because I was actually born in Indiana and raised in Kentucky after 10 years old. So actually no one raised me after 10 years old. We were just feral children. We were feral children just running across, you know, 4-lane highways on old Louisville Road.
Louisville.
Oh, yeah, but now they call it River Road. Have they ever, like, has your town ever done that? Where there's this road that's been the same road for 100 years, mm-hmm. And then suddenly they're like, "Nah, are you gonna change the name?"
Yeah, this main highway here, 169, they've changed to something else. I refuse to call it whatever it is because I don't know. And I'm looking on a map. I'm like, "Well, what's this road?" And Ross is like, "That's 169." I'm like, "Why don't they just say that?"
Yes. Yeah.
So I think the infrastructure, and I grew up in a town, the whole town changed its name.
Really?
So, yeah. So I grew up in Oak Brook Terrace, my dad and my mom, when they moved there, it was Utopia. And I believe my dad was on the committee to help change the name.
So this is your dad's fault, Michelle?
No. And here's the thing. I could be doing this incorrectly. Maybe the facts aren't true. So I don't know if my dad was on the committee. I'm saying he might have been, but it was.
Well, let's just say that because, like, one of my favorite quotes is, "Why let facts ruin a good story?" So who cares about the facts?
Okay.
We're not politicians. No one's fact checking what we're saying. So say whatever you want to say. He changed my New York City.
My sister might. Anyway.
What sister? Trisha? Don't call me Trisha.
That's right. Trisha. Patricia. So the city was Utopia, but then the Oak Brook Shopping Center was coming in and they wanted to make sure that they stayed recognized or they knew they're going to grow or whatever. So like, let's change our name. And so they changed it to Oak Brook Terrace, which would have been, you know, from the shopping center, you can see us. And nice. So, yeah.
This is what I don't get about Old Louisville Road. They changed it to River Road.
Is there a river?
There's always been a river there. All of a sudden, did they just notice? Like, they just were like, oh, wait, there's a whole river. We should call this River Road. Like, it makes absolutely no sense to me. Also, they took a bunch of the roads that were 2-lane and 4-lane, like, highways, and they were like, you know what? We only need 1 lane. The rest is going to be for bicyclists.
Oh. I love people that ride bikes, okay? But when they change the roads and put in bike lanes and your town is not used to bike lanes and you don't give any public education about bike lanes, then they just pop up. People think, oh, wow, I have my own lane to turn. I have my own lane to drive. No, that's supposed to be for the bikes.
Yes.
But they do it in a manner that it's not safe. I don't think.
Here's the deal, Pickle. I've never seen anybody biking through the areas where, like, it's literally like the busiest road in town already, one of the longest lights, I think, in the entire universe. And they're like, let's just take away all the extra lanes for all the extra cars. And our town is growing and growing. Now, maybe I didn't see bicyclists because there wasn't a bicycle lane. But how about let's not have the bicycle lane just stop? Like, there's a bicycle lane like down a main road, right? Like, it's just going down the road and then suddenly it's gone.
Yep, we're done with you now.
They're just like, I just imagine all these bicyclists that are just riding and riding and they're like, eh! And then it just, everyone's stuck there. They can't go anywhere. They're just lines of bicyclists. They're like, finally, bicycle lane. And then it just randomly stops. Like the highway just drops off a cliff or something. It's just the bicyclists are just stranded there. But now, what does that have to do with comedy? Absolutely nothing.
Well, actually, it has a lot to do with comedy because we are talking about roads and places, how you get places and things like that.
Watch Michelle do the transition. Friends, this is a professional. Don't try this at home. Michelle, do the transition. We're ready.
Nope.
We're
too ready. Late. Too late. You set it up. You've set it up. So I'm going to go back to the bikes for just 1 minute. You know
so
why?
So what does bicycles have to do with comedy, Michelle? What does bicycles have to do with comedy?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You're out there on your own. You got to know the signals.
I teed it up. If you don't hit it out of the park right now.
All right. So Jude, tell me, have you ever ridden a bike? Oh, I don't know. All the way to Utah.
That's crazy you would ask, Michelle. What a cool transition you just did there. I have not ridden a bike. I almost thought I was going to ride a bike home from Utah because of all the flight delays and a snowstorm and 80-mile-an-hour winds in Denver. And okay, so Southwest doesn't want to fly when we could all die. I don't know what that's about.
We don't want to fly when you could die.
This is what kills me is people are like, when do we got to take off? And I'm like, I'm over here at the airport, you know, eating a donut and going, dude, I'm fine not to fly when there's 85-mile-an-hour winds in Denver. Let's just 110-mile-an-hour winds is what I'm saying, Michelle. There was 200,000-mile-an-hour winds where we were going.
Man, could you imagine if you were on a bike and you had a sail, you could just like shoo right through it.
How fast
were those winds?
I think it was Mach 20. I don't even know what Mach means. you could mock me for saying that. Right, I don't know. It just it was the mocking, winds. It's just mocking. Oh, we're fast winds. Yeah, we're mocking winds. Mm-hmm. See what I did there? It's mocking. Anyway, yeah. Let's just do something serious now. Let's get for real about what happened in my life lately.
All right, I think that's a good idea. Okay, so you didn't ride any bicycles in in Utah, but I do know that there was something else that you did ride in Utah, and could that possibly be? Was this a comedy trip?
I took a comedy trip. I did a trip that you just took. It was pretty awesome. I did get to go to Provo, Utah, and film a dry bar special. So yeah, that just happened.
Was this you on dry bar?
Look at me. Yeah. So Michelle's showing a picture of me just smiling and staring up at God. And literally that is like in the bit. I think that is the bit where I'm talking to God. So that's a fun picture. And I received that picture from my friends. I think it's either you or Rhonda or our friend Lauren. There were several people who were getting to watch it live. The first recording they were getting to watch live on YouTube on the Angel.
It's on the angel.com guild. So if you want to join the Angel guild, you can go to this site that I just posted on our thing. And what happens is you are allowed to watch all of the first show of the dry bar specials. So because they're in season 14 right now and they're filming all of them live. And so there's two shows on a Friday night and two shows on a Saturday night. And if you join the Angel Guild, you get to watch them live, the dry bar special taping, which is awesome.
Yeah. So in the moment, Michelle and them were able to actually watch me doing that first performance. And then, so whoever has, you know, that membership, you can watch those. And everybody else has to wait like 8 or 9 months until the special comes out. So it'll be in post-production and editing and all of that mess for, you know, several months. And then, you know, hopefully it'll be out here. Well, she said 6 to 9 months. I think she said.
Ooh, so. Look at that. Yours is going to be earlier. Cause that means not a lot of editing on yours. Whereas mine,
right.
It was definitely a 9 to 12, because there's going to be a lot of editing. You know, first they got to make me look thinner, and then they got to throw in some jokes, and then they got,
And the AI, they're going to do, you agreed to some AI, so it may be a whole different face and a whole different set by the time it's over. You're like Showbiz Pizza or Chuck E. Cheese animatronics. It's just Michelle's movements. Michelle, okay, for our listeners, Michelle is, I think, doing the robot, or she's having a seizure. So if you're anywhere near Tulsa, Oklahoma, please check on my friend. Check on my friend Michelle. Hey, I saw while I was in Provo, I saw animatronics in the back of a like sports car, like trading shop or whatever, and it looked like there was a tree. And then there was a grandpa like up in, you know, like a platform, like he was in a rocking chair playing a banjo or something. And it looked like one of the old animatronics, like they got it, you know, from some kind of ride
Hollywood
somewhere.
Or something.
And it was, and it was part of their stage in the back of this card store, which I bought I might have it beside me.
Now, you didn't send me a picture of that guy playing an instrument, so I can't show that one. What are you looking for?
When I was in that card shop, I had to buy this. I couldn't help it. It's actually, I have it right here beside me because I haven't opened my suitcase and emptied things. And if there's a receipt, maybe it'll tell me. No receipts. I wish I could remember the name of the shop. They're moving. They're right across from Dry Bar. I got this comedy album. You see it? Yes.
Oh,
comedy
my gosh.
Tonight. And at the bottom, it says 12 hysterical comedy routines by America's hottest new comics. I don't know whatever happened to these guys, like brand new comics, Jay Leno, Arsenio Hall. Uh-huh. Yeah. Marsha Warfield. Like whatever happened to these people. Yeah. Anyway, I that's kind of what I want to do now is I want to collect comedy albums. I have all my mom's records, her old records, and I listen to them, you know, sometimes. And I just want to, what's the hang up I have is when you go to a record store, mm-hmm. they're mixed in with all the music. There's not like mm-hmm. a separate section that's just comedy albums.
Yeah.
So there you are have a lot of, I'll tell you what's not hard to find is a ton of Bill Cosby that's still sitting on the shelf. Those records, people are not buying them.
I got to be honest. I actually enjoyed listening to his comedy.
Oh, yeah. When I was, that was the first comedy album I ever heard. I was at my friend Melissa Tinker at her house. And they had a VHS player, which was super fancy, or Beta, probably Beta. Because that was kind of what tech people thought was going to be the thing that took off. And like her mom was married to a very techie dude. So I'm guessing Beta, but that has nothing to do with anything. And I just wasted some brain cells of our listeners. So she had,
let's go back to
she had Bill Cosby and there she is. Look at her. She had Bill Cosby. And then she also had Eddie Murphy. I'm trying to think, there was one other album and I remember like listening to both of those over and over again. Every time I was at Melissa's house getting to listen to their albums.
How old were you when you were doing that?
I was probably 13, maybe something. Well, I moved to Kentucky when I was 10. So it was sometime after 10 years old.
So from the age of 13 to now you're 29 and you got to film your mm-hmm. comedy special. Do you hope that at some point, are you ever going to put your comedy on a vinyl? You know, because that is coming back nowadays.
Oh, yeah, it's 100% coming back. So. First of all, for our listeners, just keep listening. Don't watch this podcast, because if you look at this podcast, you're going to be like, 29, that woman looks so old. She aged horribly. Like,
well, I think our listeners already know. I think our listeners already know that I am not good at math because there's been a lot of things. Oh, you know what? And because you said listeners, let's give a new shout out. Okay. A couple shout outs. This first shout out goes to Nicole Petrie. She's our new subscriber on YouTube.
Sweet.
So,
hey, Nicole.
Little shout out to Nicole. And then, of course, let's do a shout out to our listeners in India, Ireland, France, Jamaica, Sri Lanka, Trinidad and Tobago. Tobago. How do you say that word?
Trinidad and Tobago. And so we Tobago. Have a new listener from Jamaica?
Yes. Yes, we do.
That's so cool because, you know, I was just in Jamaica.
I know. And I'm like, yes. Who did you meet down there that's like, oh, I need to listen to her some more?
I'm not sure. I don't know, you know, because I am so famous.
Where did you go?
I don't know.
Okay, you're so famous, then what?
Yes, I'm so famous. I try not to point myself out to people. You know, mm-hmm. so I tried to stay under the radar in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. I blended right in Jamaica. No one noticed me. I can't imagine ever being that though. Can you imagine like people actually recognizing you when you're out and about? Because I took my dog for a walk this morning and then I came back in the house and I caught a glimpse of myself in the full length mirror. I laughed till I cried. Like when I tell you, I look absolutely like a clown. Like I just walked down the street looking like a clown today. I don't need anybody to care about me. Like no one needs to notice or care.
If you, you know, when you taught and then you would go to the local grocery store, your students would see you.
Always
right?
The kids. That, always
that
the
was
kids,
always
yeah.
the kids. And then on our honeymoon on, you know, cause we, Ross and I used to both work at a children's camp. Yeah. And so on our honeymoon, we're at Disney World. Thousands of people at Disney World. And you hear this little, Mr. Ross, Mr. Ross. And this little kid come running up and hugging his legs. And he's like, oh, hey. And which was like super sweet and everything. But that kid was the kid that he kicked out because of his behavior. And out of all the people, he came running to see him. It was really cool.
Well, and it sounds like his parents really handled that and they really punished that child with a trip to Disney World.
No. It's totally separate time frame.
You get
totally
kicked out of class. You know what? We're taking your hiney straight to Mickey Mouse Land. Yay!
No, no. So, but the young boy, he actually got to come back, and then he ended up, you know, getting all the way through the week. So Ross did a good job with him. But yeah, but it was just the fact that, you know, it's the one kid that he ever kicked out.
I didn't know you went to Disney World on your honeymoon. That's where I went.
It was part of our honeymoon. Yes. Yeah.
We went to Disney on our honeymoon. And our first marital fight after we were married was that I wanted to go to Mickey's house. And he wanted to go ride some ride. And I wanted to go to Mickey's house. And so we, in the happiest place on earth, were fighting about a fictional character's house. And I won. We went to Mickey's house. But okay. But I remember thinking, happiest place on earth, my butt. This is not happy.
But here's the thing. I think the happiest place on earth and where dreams come true is at Dry Bar.
At Dry Bar. Okay, circle back around. The ADHD has kicked in. All right, I'm just going to do a real quick recap. Dry Bar, I went. I did it. It was awesome. Everybody there is great. So much fun. Okay. So Michelle's showing pictures. She just popped up. First stop when you get there, hair and makeup. Cynthia, who has made all of our friends look amazing, went to work on me with some eyelashes. And that was so much fun. So in this picture, we see Cynthia. We see her assistant, Dakota, and we see a really rad, wicked, awesome, super cool best friend to Dakota, who has a awesome name that I cannot remember. I remember thinking, that's such a cool name. I should remember that. But I don't ever remember.
Like Phoenix or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
No. I'm way off.
That's the most awesome name you could think of, Michelle, was Phoenix.
Well, I don't know. Like I called Dakota Little D because I couldn't remember the name Dakota.
Yes.
So I called her Little D, but I don't know. Okay. So awesome name friend. Okay. Now what about this green screen thing? What's happening
here? The green screen. So you do hair and makeup. Then they take you and you do a photo shoot, which is in front of a green screen. And that enables the, you know, the people who are making the thumbnails and background and all of that stuff for your special. They're able to put it on there. So then when we got done, so that was Cade, I believe. What was Cade's last name? Anyway.
Cade Baker.
Okay. Thanks, Michelle. So it's Cade Baker. Cade did your pictures as well. Is that right, Michelle?
I believe so. Yeah. He's the one that cooks up the photos. What? Baker. Okay. Cade Baker. Okay.
I heard it, Michelle. I heard it. I'm just processing. Anyway,
why do you have his hair on your lip?
Okay, so what's I was this? Like, dude, can I take a picture with you? I love taking pictures with people. And I just love people. And I want to remember the people that I got to hang out with. And so Cade was so much fun. And I said, hey, can I take a picture with you? And he was like, sure. And then he goes, you want to get the hair? And he undoes his, like, you could not tell that this dude had that much hair. So the people listening and not watching, like, I'm holding up a giant lock of hair like it's a mustache on me, but it goes down his back, like, to at least to the top of his pants or below.
Yeah, it goes past his belly button. You can see that.
Yeah. So super long, beautiful locks of love had Cade. And he was just fun. He was a fun photographer. There's no telling what kind of photo he did get a picture of me with my eyes crossed.
So it'll be interesting to see what ends up being your specials cover and things like that.
Yeah.
Now, when you did your Dry Bar, is it you performing that night?
It was three people. There was a guy named Adam Mueller. There was Wellington. And his last name, I believe he said, his father was Nigerian. That was was Nigerian. I guess he's still alive and he is still Nigerian, which would make Wellington Nigerian, you know, as well. And anyway, so those two were on the show. Then in that picture you just showed on the far left that I'm looking at, I'm not sure what they'll see, but the opposite side of me is a guy named Spence. And here's what you need to know about Spence. I kind of bounced in when Spence showed up. So I couldn't tell if they called him Spence, if they called him Spencer. I think I called him both off and on all night, call him Spencer. Because it feels like if you're like, hey, Spence, like you're throwing out a nickname to somebody that like, yeah, exactly. Like, pew, pew. Hey, Spence, what's up, buddy? You know, and I'm like, I don't know if his name was Spencer or Spence, but I didn't want to be obnoxious and just call him by a nickname. And so later that night, Michelle, I was like, so, you know, Spencer, do you have a dry bar? I assume you do. And he was like, yeah. And he kind of laughed at me. And that wasn't a time I was trying to be funny. So, you know, I'm trying to read what's up with that. So that night when I get back, we actually rented an Airbnb, like a little apartment. When I go back to the apartment, I'm like, oh, I'm going to check out his special. Because I mean, he was just so quirky and fun, and he kind of reminded me of Claiborne Cox a little bit, like just this quirkiness about him. So I pull up his dry bar. His dry bar's title is Just Spence. Literally, the title is Just Spence, and I probably called him Spencer 100 times, and the whole first 8 minutes of his dry bar is him talking about how his name is not Spencer and having to explain his whole life that he's not Spencer. And I'm like, hey, Spencer, do you have a special? And literally the title is Just Spence. So like, no wonder he laughed. No wonder he laughed at me because I'm an idiot.
Yeah, I would laugh at you too. That's funny. That's really,
So brilliant. Just Spence. Spence was the host. Wicked funny dude. Just quirky, quick-witted personality. Even just the banter in the green room with, you know, with the other comics back and forth. It was just really fun to listen. I mean, you know, sometimes you're just with such quick-witted, creative-minded people that even in general conversation, it's not forced. It's not like they're working out material. Their brain just works so fast in such a funny direction. It was me, three guys. Everybody was great. First show was awesome. You guys got to see that as far as like the audience goes. Mm-hmm. I had a couple of like stumbled, like tripped up on saying tea light candle. And then tripped up on one other word, which people don't care. They don't really care, but you care, right? I cared that like, that bugged me. And then there was one joke that I missed because a stagehand came out and was like on the stage behind me in the curtain. Yes, and I saw him. And so my brain kind of blipped, right? Yeah. But Michelle, I was only like 12 minutes into my material.
Wait, why is he at the curtain?
I don't know. I just thought, oh no, I thought something
and happened. It's time to get the hook. Like, we're done with this one.
She's done. I thought I've screwed something up because that's my go-to in my brain. Like, oh great, what I mess up. And then I thought, oh no, I hope that like the curtain's not messed up or the backdrop, like something hasn't fallen off the backdrop or something because it was going so well. And so I was like, no, like it's going good. What's happening? And I missed a whole joke in that. But the thing is that it's not like it's like my favorite joke or the best punchline ever. It's just a joke that didn't get in there and it didn't mess up the flow. No one would have noticed.
I didn't notice. So I know a lot of your stuff. I watched and I didn't notice you noticed that person. And I didn't notice that you skipped a joke. I didn't notice that at all. So yeah.
We feel all of it. Yeah, we feel all of it. After the first set and I'm telling you like everybody had an amazing first set. It was just a fun audience. And then in between, Jason was with me and I said, you know, hey, did you notice that I missed anything or whatever? And he was like, yeah, just, and he was like, you know, the shirt pants thing. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I was so glad that he, first of all, I forced him for 2 days to walk around Provo, Utah, probably 10 miles. And I just talked. I was talking my set out, but it looked like he and I were like walking down the street and I was just really, I'm sure when I was practicing the can't beat them, tase them, you know, and I was doing the expressions on my face, people walking past us were probably like, wow, like they're in an intense conversation. But I got to practice it over and over. He doesn't care if he's talking or not talking. Like, he's used to me jabber jaws running my mouth all the time. And so he was just, yeah, I know, who would have thought? So he was hearing my set over and over, hearing me make adjustments. And then I was able to be like, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to. And so he heard all of that for 2 days as we walked, because I focus better. I can't just like sit here and practice it in my head. Or sometimes, you know, if it's really cold, I walk around with a spoon in my hand. But for me to practice material, like it's a mic. I have to have a mic in my hand. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't do that when I'm walking outside. But because of my issues with focus, if I'm moving, if I'm like walking and talking it out, then I'm more focused while I'm doing that. Cause I'm not, if I'm in here in the house, okay, well now I'm going to be emptying my suitcase and I'm going to load the dishwasher and whatever. So, so he knew all my stuff and he knew that I missed that. So that was really good. Second, so you get to do two shows. We talked about this on your episode, about your dry bar. You get to do two shows. Second show had a really, really young audience, like tons of what looked like teenagers that were there. Enough that like the third comic actually pointed it out and was like, is this a youth group trip or what, you know? And it's not like my material is geared for teenagers. There was this kid in the middle of the room, Michelle. When I tell you, I saw him before the show started. And he had this like, I am not going to laugh for nothing. I am not going to smile for nothing. And even when they were like, put your hands together for Adam Mueller, he goes.
Oh, and his friends.
Yes. Like he clasped his hands together, like in defiance. Yeah, because he
put his hands together.
Together. He was being sarcastic. And his friends were like smacking him on the leg, like, chill out, dude. Like, have fun. They're like, they're trying to get him. I keep bumping my desk. They're trying to get him to have a good time. And he's on my radar. And I was watching him off and on during the first show. He refused to smile, to laugh at anything. He sat there in the center of the room, tall, like, And so I have in my bit where I say, if you can't beat him, just tase him. I always do like I'm tasing somebody and I point
it right at him.
I am telling you, when it came to can't beat him, tase him, I locked eyes with that kid in the center of the room and I held it. I just looked at him and I was like, and his friends felt it, knew it. It was hilarious to watch them because they kind of looked at each other and they looked at him and he was sitting up like all tough guy, you know, and he dropped his shoulders, kind of sunk down like, she's looking at me. I was like, no, I'm not doing that. You got my attention. Now I've got yours. So anyway, in my own brain, that was just entertainment for myself, for this
that
one
is entertaining.
Kid. But then
so you
really
tased
good.
A kid in the audience. I like
did.
That.
I tased a child in the audience. And they were really good. They were a fun audience. They were just not the same energy as the first. So I feel like my second set went better because you get those jitters out in the first one. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember having to kind of check my teeth to keep my mouth, you know, moist. That's a fun thing that nobody tells you when you start comedy, is that fight or flight, that nervousness in you will dry up your mouth and your lip will roll up like a bolt. Look at both of us. We're doing it. It's Fire Marshal Bill. Let me show you something.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, come here, let me show you something. First of all, we got the fire going. Anyway, I love Fire Marshal Bill. That's character Jim Carrey. Look it up. He was awesome. So anyway, yeah, second show was great. Everybody was awesome. Steve, he was, I believe, one of the producers. He's also, like, I think their main editor. He was kind of the liaison. He was just checking in on us, making sure everybody, you know, was good. Cynthia kept me, her and Dakota kept my face powdered up so I wasn't super shiny. And the recording, the tips went a little funky because people kept walking around and making noises. So I had to keep recording and re-recording and but it fortunately it wasn't my fault. But I
liked mine.
So yeah, Michelle said that it was her fault. Hers kept going over and over again. there's no telling what I'll actually look like on that, because you're tense at first when you get in there. And yeah, I was so tense.
And you just go right in. Like, there's no like, take a breath, watch what's happening. It's jump in, now do it. Dance, monkey, dance.
Yes, yes, do it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Well, I know that for my tip experience, I think I'm going to need a lot more tips just to pay for all the extra footage that they took of me trying to say, hey, I need some money. You know what I mean? Like it's.
Yes.
It's,
yeah.
Oh, but you're the professional. Like you went in there from what you were telling me earlier. You went in, you did your first take, and then something happened like, it's not you, it was us. And that you did another take. Nope. Not you, totally us. And you did it like you were such a professional. In fact, people should just hire you as an actress or whatever, you know, book you for shows. Because what was it like 10 takes and you did the exact same thing
over and over again. Wow. So what happened was when I was recording, it was the time that they were changing, like people were getting off work. And so they were all coming down the steps. They were all walking across the floor. And this is a high quality production company in a very old building.
Very old.
So yeah, it's a really old, it's a beautiful, really cool building.
You can't sneak out of work early.
Yeah. Yeah. You cannot sneak out. And it's, you know, it's downtown Provo. The town of Provo is just beautiful. And it has all of these buildings from the 1900s and all of that still standing. And they're in one of those buildings. So every wood floor, the creaking of the building, you know, the elevator going up and down, people walking across the catwalks above you.
Wait, there was an elevator?
There was an elevator. I got to take the elevator down. I took a picture of it. I took a picture of the elevator because my brain, let me see if I can find it.
I walked the stairs every single time. There was an elevator.
Well, but not like it, just from the Angel Studios. So when you were up there where they had all the Chosen, did you do the photo shoot in front of the green screen where it was like, on that level? There was actually an elevator to go down. On that level. And so we rode the elevator down, but this is my blonde brain. Also, by the way, lots of stuff around Provo and Salt Lake City with the name June on it. In Provo, there's June Audio, which is a really cool, like, recording studio. And so anyway, there was June Audio. There was also like another big corporation that was called June something. Like I saw my name on like three different things. I did get a picture with the June Audio sign.
That's neat.
Okay. I have to find this picture in the elevator. Just
of the elevator?
Yes.
It's a box that goes up and down.
Okay. So tell me if you can see this. Can you see that?
Yes. Okay. So we have...
Okay, don't read it. Don't read it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to read it to you, right?
Okay.
So I'm looking at it and my brain goes, dry bar, basement, Angel, dry bar, fiance. And I thought, that's so weird. Why do they have a fiance floor? Fiance. Y'all, it's finance. The word is finance.
But the thing that I'm looking at is they have two dry bar buttons.
They do. They have two dry bar. There's a dry bar level one and a dry bar level two, which makes sense because the green room is up on the second floor. So
yeah, but
the Angel Studios is on the third floor, but there's two dry bars.
Yeah. But that threw me there for a minute. I'm like, why is there two dry bars?
I don't know. Why is there a fiance, Michelle? I don't know why there's a fiance floor. Apparently that's where all the Mormons and Utah get married on that floor. That's where they go with their fiances.
Find a fiance. I don't know. That's funny. That's very funny. Okay. So you did your two dry bars. That's why there's two floors. You did two shows.
Yes.
And then did you turn around and head home right away or did you have anything else?
I did not. The cool thing is that Jason booked all the travel for me. So I actually flew in on Wednesday. My special was until Friday. I'm glad I flew in on Wednesday because, it was a lot as far as like taking off and getting there. It was about 8 hours worth of travel when you considered driving to the airport, checking in early, all of those things. So about 8 hours of travel. And then they were like an hour behind us. And I never take a nap, but we literally, because we had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to make the flight and all that. I got to check into the Airbnb, take a nap on Wednesday night, get up, eat dinner. And then I had all day Thursday to walk miles and miles around Provo, just practice, practice, practice. And again, Friday morning. So yeah. I was rested. It was just good to do it the way that we did. I don't know how you did it where you drove. That blows my mind. So I was spoiled. I got to be there early.
I didn't drive. I rode.
Yeah. Ross, but it's still exhausting. It's still exhausting being in a vehicle like that, like for that long, you know? You know, you took the ride. So so then we did the show on Friday. And then Saturday was just a free day. He just like, cause I was like, don't plan anything in the morning, no sightseeing, none of that. I just want to sleep in. I know I'll be like hyped up when I get back home. So we slept in, went and got some breakfast, walked around Provo. I bought my comedy album. The guy at the record store was like, hey man, you should drive up to Sundance, you know, where they have the Sundance Film Festival. And,
that's in Utah?
That's in Utah. Yeah, it's about 45 minutes from Provo. So
why? Yeah. In my head, I thought it was in Canada this whole time.
No, Utah? Yeah. Yeah, it's an American film festival. Why would it be in Canada?
I don't know. Like, I'm like, oh, the Sundance. Anytime I hear the Sundance Film Festival, I'm always thinking it's Canada, so I'll never go. It's in America.
It's in America.
Oh, my God.
So we drove, we drove up to Sundance, the giant ski resorts, and saw the waterfalls, you know, coming out of the mountainside. We got up to where people do the cross-country skiing. You could watch them just kind of going past and park. And Jay, you know, Jay and I got out and just got, you know, walked around in the snow. And like, I mean, the snow, the on the bathroom out there, the drift on the top of it had to be about 3 foot high, just the drift on top of the little buildings out there. So we did a little bit of hiking, a little bit of walking, came back. Then the next day we were scheduled to go to Oakley, Utah, which was past Salt Lake City. And we went snowmobiling. We went snowmobiling. Where you drove to was like 6,500 feet above sea level. And then when you rode, there I am on a snowmobile. That spot, you cannot tell, but we were at one of the highest peaks on this this farm or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was, the guide said we were 9,500 feet above sea level. And what you can't see is like we are at the tip and there's kind of a platform and you're looking down at this little river that's running through the property. And just, I mean, you can see mountains for miles and miles all the way.
I see how you just brought that back to river. Were there any bicycles up on this mountain?
It was, I think we were on River Road. I'm pretty sure we were on River Road. We were on, we're 9,500 feet in the air. Yeah. So that's a picture of me in Jason's goggles and you can see the mountains behind me. And It was really fun, but we got up, I think, close to 60 miles an hour on that thing.
Whew.
And there, if he saw like a dip, instead of like easing up, I swear to you, he just gunned it. And I would be like, woo, woo.
So you're riding together?
Yes. Yeah. I didn't drive. I didn't drive because I am a control
freak. Where did you sit?
I'm sitting on the front of it. It actually has like a back seat. It has a kind of a back to it and it has grips on the side to hang on. But because I hadn't driven before and he's a good driver, I just wanted to chill. I just wanted to ride on the back. I wanted to look around and see everything, you know, which is hard to do when he's going 60 miles an hour and jumping hills and like you're praying to God that you don't.
Can we go down to 20 so I can look at everything, please?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, dude, we're working on trust here. We're working on trust. he actually did really good. There was only a couple of times that I screamed at him and a couple of times my helmet, I didn't need it for a wreck. I needed it because he would jump a hill and my head would hit his head and you would hear our helmets go clank, clank, clank.
Now, did you have like a microphone so he could hear you?
No. And he's half deaf anyway. So I was screaming in a helmet to a man in a helmet who can't hear in the first place. And I would just get, huh? And he would just keep doing what he was doing. Just not pull back.
Yeah. I don't know if I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could get on a snowmobile and let my husband drive. I mean, we had one of those trucks when we were first married, the four wheeler. It's not a four wheeler, but it's like a 4x4 where you can go off roading with your vehicle. Yes, what's that called?
Yeah. Four wheel drive, Michelle.
Four wheel drive. Okay. Yeah.
Four by four. Yeah. Like all four wheels engage is basically what happens.
Yeah. And
instead of a front wheel drive where the front wheels are just
so it's
pulling
all of them.
The car and the back wheels are just being pulled, four wheel drive.
Yeah. All of them get to work. Yeah. But you could drive it when it's just the two, you know, like you have to move a lever or something to change it. Anyway. So when we were living at the camp, and that was one of our first vehicles, you know, we were down by the cove, and it was like right after it rained, and so there's mud puddles everywhere, and he's starting to go. I'm like, and he kept going forward just for me to freak out about it, and I'm like, So I couldn't even imagine sitting in an open vehicle like that and just let him do his
It was nuts, but also it was just the operation, the people that do this. I mean, you were looking at hundreds of people going out in different areas, and I can't remember, I'm probably wrong, but I'm pretty sure they said like 65,000 acres this family owns out there. Like, wow. They own two mountains. It's insane. I'm like, how do you even own a mountain? But
crazy.
Yeah. And so, and all of that area, there's a television show called Yellowstone that became like super famous.
Yeah.
And apparently all of that area out there, that's where all of that is filmed, in different spots out there in Utah. But yeah, so we did snowmobiling. Then we went up to Park City, which is a famous ski town and famous like for rich people. And yeah, it's definitely famous for rich people. Jason got a pizza, like a tiny, like Pizza Hut personal pan pizza,
like a tiny
tiniest little pizza you can get. And I had a water and he had a water, and it was almost $40.
So don't buy the pizza.
Yeah. And it was all like very rich people in very rich clothes and their ski suits and stuff. And they were all like fancy pants and stuff. And we have been riding the snowmobiles, and I had on just raggedy old leggings, and like my makeup was all smeared off. And I'm talking like these women, every woman I passed, something had been altered. From the tip of their heads to their little tushies, they all had some kind of something implanted. And I was just like, hey, y'all.
When we went skiing in Colorado, one of the greatest tips that I ever got was when you get to that area that you want to go skiing, go to that thrift store or go to that Salvation Army your snow pants and stuff, because it'll be way discounted. And it'll be the quality that you need for that area. I was like,
that's a great idea. Yeah. So we actually went to a thrift store outside of Provo, and there was a ton of like used skis and poles and those kind of things. The cool thing about this operation is that it's geared for people like us that are flying in. I was not packing my ski pants and, you know, all that mess. Like they have, I mean, you're wearing bibbies that somebody else has wore. Like that grosses me out. But I'd rather wash them. Oh, I'm sure they don't.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure they want you to think they wash them. But there was really nobody working in that area, and you were just kind of gearing up yourself, and there was like a basket for used gloves. That's all I saw, and boots going right back on the shelf. Yeah. So
not the new gloves, clean gloves, old gloves, not like that. It was
here's what's nuts is I was everywhere that you look, there were signs that said, if you took an Uber here, they're not coming back. Like everywhere you look, there were signs that said, just heads up, like check with us because your Uber will not come back here. Sure enough, we get done. I've seen there's signs everywhere. And this guy's standing at the counter and he goes, hey, man, you know, like my ride, whatever. And the guy behind the counter goes, did you take an Uber? And he said, yeah. And he said, they're not coming back. And he points, there's like 50 signs everywhere. And he goes, well, I didn't know that. And so anyway, I was like, well, where are you going, buddy? Because we had a rental car. I said, where are you going? Yeah. And he's like, Salt Lake City. And we were going to Park City, different direction. But they ended up finding him a shuttle ride. But I don't know, what kind of Uber? They'll bring you there, but they won't come get you? What is that even? Why? But
yeah,
the other option was sled dogs. We did pass like sled dog teams. There were people okay. with sled dogs. That was
I
so
do
cool.
want to do that. Like that is yeah. something I would like to do. But then again, it's like, ooh, but I'm not in control. So I don't know. But yeah.
Well, and I spent, and so after we did that, we went to back to Salt Lake City. My son Ty, one of his childhood best friends, kiddo that like basically grew up in our house, named Calvin, he lives in Salt Lake City. And so I was able to get a hold of him, and he gave us a couple options for restaurants to meet him. He was in the military, you know, been all over, like was in the Navy, has been all over the place and has settled in Salt Lake City. He's just an adventurous, I don't want to say kid, he's a grown man now, but they all feel like babies to me. So proud of him, just out there working hard, enjoying life, you know, just huge goals and aspirations. And you just love to see that. You love to see the, you know, your kids succeed and the kids that you have loved from elementary school grow up and do great things. But we went to a place called Prohibition. The restaurant was called Prohibition. And yeah.
This
and
is it was tea, just so you know, this is tea.
Yes, that's tea. But what was so cool about it is that when you walked in, Michelle, it was this old parlor looking place, and it had like bookshelves and antique couch. And this girl was dressed in just kind of some kind of retro throwback, like steampunk looking outfit. She was just like super cool looking. Neat. And we had reservations for dinner. And she said, you know, is your other person coming? We're like, he'll be here in a minute. And she goes, okay, we'll go ahead and seat you. And then she grabs the bookshelves and opens them. And that's where the restaurant is, on the other side of the bookshelves. Now you could hear the murmuring of the people back there, but there were no doors. You didn't see any doors other than where you walked in. And it was just such a cool vibe. So I told Jason, I'm like, if we ever do the comedy club, if we ever make a comedy club, I want.
When you do.
I know. I want the lobby to look like that. I want it to be closed bookshelves, right? And I want it to have these albums, these comedy albums that I'm collecting. I want one section to be my friends' books, but like I would have to make them look more vintage than they are, because most of our friends have, you know, more paperback style books.
Drop them in tea. Just drop them in tea, you know.
Yes. Yeah. So I think that would be what a cool vibe to come into a comedy club and it be like bookshelves and stuff. And then you open up those doors and it takes you into the area. Oh, but anyway, okay, I could talk about it forever and I have. But yeah, that's it. I just want a huge shout out to everybody at Dry Bar. Keith, who gave me the opportunity to do this, Maren, who got us, you know, settled and ready to rock and roll, Steve, who met me there, everybody, Cade, everyone who did photography, videography, it was just all the way around. I've got to be there before with my friends. I've got to hear about all my friends' experiences. Not one comedian I know has one negative thing to say about the treatment they've received from the kindest, most courteous people, I think, in the entertainment industry are right there at Dry Bar and Provo. So I just thank God for his perfect timing and for the opportunity. We'll see what happens with it, but I got to do it. Been there, done that, and grateful for it. So I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you follow my friend Michelle Van Dusen. We will, Michelle. We'll get it. Van Dusen. It's Michelle with one L, okay? Michelle's Comedy. And you can find me, Junebug Comedy, on all of the social media platforms. And real quick before we go, I'm going to give you the tip of the day, and Michelle's going to give you her goofy joke. So my tip of the day, I've heard it said before, comedy is not writing, comedy is rewriting. So you write it and then you rewrite. Michelle put write, rewrite, and repeat. Here's a great example, even after I just recorded Dry Bar, Michelle was watching my bit and she was like, hey, I was thinking, and she points out a way that I deliver a joke. And we kind of figured out another way I could try it that might be more effective. It was effective the way I did it, but it could be even more effective. So when I'm not leaving it just because that's how I do it, I'm writing and rewriting and repeating. So that is our comedy tip of the day. Michelle, go ahead and tell us your goofy joke before we go.
Okay. Are you ready? Because you mentioned Fire Marshal Bill, right?
That's right.
And because of that and all the fires are happening in Texas right now, because I'm waiting for my son to return, they got to drive through all that kind of craziness. I thought this would be an appropriate joke for today. Why are the fires in Athens worse than those in the United States?
I'm afraid I'm not going to get this. Go ahead.
Because you can't throw water on grease fire. Because Athens, Greece.
Okay. Grease fire. If you have to explain it.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Maybe if you have to explain it, it's not because it wasn't funny. It's just because I'm a little slow. I get it. Grease fire. Yeah. Don't. Okay. That's a good fire tip, friends. If you have grease fire, don't throw water on it.
There you go. Okay. So now you turned it into a tip. You know what? Just for that. Why do fire departments always have Dalmatian dogs?
It helps them spot the fire.
Yes. It helps them spot the hydrants. The fire.
I was close. Okay. I want to apologize for the last at least 5 minutes of this. We love you. Thank you for listening. Make sure you check us out on YouTube and all major podcast platforms. Jesus and Junebug loves you. Tell them goodbye, Michelle.
Goodbye. Thanks for listening. Shout out to all our new listeners. Whoa.